Veritas Academy was chosen by Niche as the number one Christian and private school in Northern Virginia and third in the state of Virginia. Have coffee with the headmaster every Tuesday morning. Schedule your visit now. VeritasAcademyDC.com. VeritasAcademyDC.com.
So much going on in our schools. But listen, all of these issues in our public schools, our government-run schools, they're actually sort of a microcosm, a day-to-day struggle that we are each having with the government on the most local, intimate level. But they're really more about the larger issue of two approaches of how we're going to live in this country, between individual rights and individual freedom and individual liberty and mandates. And, yep. and government control of our lives. That's the larger story here. And there's much to get into. That's why I'm glad we've got our legal analyst, former U.S. attorney to the District of Columbia and friend of this program, Joe DeGeneva. Joe, thank you for joining us.
Delighted to be with you, Larry.
Well, and the reason I love talking to you about these things and so many legal issues that are in the news on any given week is that you have a good way of sort of bringing this down to the very human level. The law is supposed to be about us and about our individual rights. And that's what we're seeing now in Northern Virginia as these school districts who, during Northam's administration, they all claimed that, we're just following the executive order of the governor. Well, now we've got a new governor with a new executive order, and they're threatening to suspend kids if their parents choose to exercise their right to not have their kids in the school with a mask. How does this play out? As Attorney General Meares has said, this will make its way to the Supreme Court of Virginia.
Yes.
What's at play there?
Well, this is ultimately really a fascinating display of what's happening in the United States today, and that is that national politics is almost becoming irrelevant, and the nostrum that all politics is local is now becoming the order of the day. These fights with school boards and school superintendents, which are Democrat-controlled, very far-left, pro-Marxist, let's not be cute about this,
yep,
totally in control of curriculum and what children are being taught, the issue is now joined in Virginia. I expect that the Virginia Supreme Court will rule that the governor's new executive order is the law of Virginia and must be complied with. At that point, the teachers' unions will go on strike. You will then have the issue of no teachers in the school, which is nothing new, because they haven't been there basically in truth anyway. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to have a court battle over firing those teachers, forcing them back to work, which they will refuse to do. This is what happens when unions become in government, unions in government. There's a difference between unions in government and unions in the private sector. I really favor unions in the private sector. I am unalterably opposed to any unions in government. When this was permitted, it took us down a trail where the salaries and the compensations and the benefits of union officials and the teachers, et cetera, became paramount to anything involving these children. So yep. Glenn Youngkin has set up the premier battle in the United States right now. If the Virginia Supreme Court does not support the governor, there is going to be a chaotic revolution going on in Virginia, legally and every other way. It's going to be extremely difficult to educate in this environment. It already is. There is no education in Virginia any longer in public schools. Let's not kid ourselves. Virginia public education is now a joke.
You know, Joe, I know we want to move on to some other things, including Hunter Biden.
Oh,
and
no,
the vaccine
we have time.
Mandate,
go ahead, Joe.
Okay, good. Well, this is the thing. There is a time lag that's going to occur here between today, which kids are about to head off to school,
yep,
and the Supreme Court ruling. There's mm-hmm. a lot of talk of rejecting the mask mandate. I know that many of the IWF ladies that I work with and many women in Northern Virginia are planning to send their kids to school maskless. What advice do you, and you know, like in Fairfax, the superintendent there is saying that he's going to suspend kids for not masking. What advice do you give to parents? There's some conflicting, you know, Youngkin himself has said, be patient. We're going to work this through the courts. I don't want to wait that. And I know a lot of other parents don't want to wait for this to move through the courts, even if it is quick.
Well,
what advice do you give parents for this lag time?
I think Glenn Youngkin sent an interesting signal when he told children to obey their principals.
Sure.
And he meant the principal of their school, not their personal,
right.
political, religious principles.
Yeah, right.
And that to me was a sign that he wants to be very careful that he's not setting up a physical conflagration between students and parents and teachers and administrators.
Yeah.
I think that Youngkin probably has it right, which is obey for the moment, but object. I think that people who want to use their children in this situation by sending them to school without masks are taking a risk.
Yeah.
And the risk is, remember what you're dealing with. This is a vindictive bureaucracy. Remember, as I said last week, massive resistance has returned to Virginia in an ugly and very palpable way. You have public officials, teachers, and unions disobeying an order of the governor of Virginia. I think the best way to proceed is to fight massive resistance with massive legality. And I think the governor has taken the position that he wants to be very careful about not being accused of inciting violence,
right.
especially given the position of the Attorney General of the United States, the FBI director, and the president.
Yeah.
And so what I say to people is, put your faith in the Virginia Supreme Court. It may take a little bit of time. And I know parents are frustrated, and they have every right in the world to be. But if you can't win in the Virginia Supreme Court, at that point, you end up with a series of political and electoral battles over the next 2 years that's going to be powerful, expensive, and ugly. But there may be no choice.
Well, and they're critically important to have these legal fights so that the Constitution can win out as well it should. Joe DeGeneva has been kind enough to stay with us, so we're going to talk about the Hunter Biden, the latest from Peter Schweitzer's book, and what's going on with China. But real fast on the legal battles over COVID, a new federal judge in Texas now has blocked the Biden administration's vaccine requirement for government workers. We've already seen them block the vaccine requirement. The Supreme Court has upheld the block on the requirement for private sector companies through OSHA. Talk to me about this latest decision and how it affects government workers, because God knows a lot of them are listening right now.
Well, this is another example of the power of the federal judiciary. This is a federal judge in Texas who has issued something which we Republicans have inveighed against, a nationwide injunction. One judge has stopped the mandate for federal workers for the entire country. No doubt the government will take it up. It'll go to the Fifth Circuit, then to the Supreme Court. I assume the Supreme Court's going to leave it alone. They're going to let it stay in place. This is the battle of our lifetime. Executive power versus legislative power. Let's remember, Congress has enacted no law empowering the President of the United States to issue these mandates.
Mm-hmm.
The Supreme Court did uphold the one for medical workers because it says Congress did authorize this type of conduct in the act that established CMS, that's Medicare and Medicaid reimbursements to hospitals. Okay, arguably you can buy that. All federal workers, there's nothing that says the President of the United States can force federal workers to perform medical test as part of government service. I assume that that judge in Texas is correct, and ultimately this will be upheld by the Supreme Court or simply left in place as a nationwide injunction.
By the way, that judge, Jeffrey Vincent Brown, nominated 2019
yes.
by President Donald Trump. All right, we continue with Joe DeGeneva in a moment here on the latest with Hunter Biden and the communist Chinese government. But first, it's set.
And look, we spent more than a year investigating red-handed, and one of the most startling things we uncovered is the simple fact that the Biden family, while he was vice president of the United States and continuing when he became president, received some $31 million from Chinese individuals who are linked to the highest levels of Chinese intelligence.
Peter Schweitzer talking about his new book. And if you know anything about Peter Schweitzer's work, it is thoroughly investigated, thoroughly footnoted. $31 million for the Biden family, he was telling Mark Levin on Fox News Channel. The book is called Red-Handed. And it almost seems, Joe, that Peter Schweitzer is now vetting this president, sadly, a year after he was elected. If only the media had looked into some of these stories that you knew full well about years before the 2020 election.
Well, what's interesting here is, first of all, Peter Schweitzer is a superb journalist. His books are unassailable. His factual background investigation is unmatched in journalism, what's left of American journalism. The truth is the American media, mass media, ignored the stories about Hunter Biden and the Biden family purposely so as not to politically harm Biden's electoral chances for the presidency. That is a shameful story of American journalism, which will go down in history as long as the right people write history. The problem now is that the Bidens are very deep in. They control the Justice Department. They control the U.S. Attorney's offices in Delaware and the Southern District. They are controlling these investigations. Merrick Garland and Lisa Monaco, who is the Deputy Attorney General, she's actually running the Justice Department, are preventing any serious investigations into the Biden family. You'll notice you read nothing about leaks involving the Hunter Biden computer or the investigations around it in Delaware. The Delaware case is going to go away. There's going to be some sort of civil settlement with Hunter Biden. There will be no further investigations of the Biden family during this administration. And you can forget about it. In the absence of legitimate journalism, this is over. If the Republicans take the House and the Senate, or at least one chamber in 2022, certainly in 2023, they should go after this hammer and tongs and issue subpoenas and investigate to a fare-thee-well. But the Justice Department is going to do nothing, and everybody should simply resolve themselves to that. That's the way it's going to be. This is what happens when you have a corrupt president with a corrupt family bolstered by a corrupt Department of Justice and a corrupt FBI. Make no mistake about it. That gaffe by that FBI senior agent in Texas after the synagogue disaster was not an accident. That was a purposeful display of pro-Islamic baloney from the FBI, from the top down.
And Joe, it's funny, when you reflect on the international scene right now, we have two major hotspots in the world. We've got Russia literally amassing 100,000 troops and tanks on the border of Ukraine. And we've got China doing forays into the South China Sea, threatening Taiwan, about to have this Potemkin village of a Winter Olympics that offends the sensibility of any liberty-loving individual on this planet. Those two hotspots, Ukraine and China, the Biden administration apparently unable to do anything about it. Those are the two countries that Hunter Biden were both financially involved with up to his ears.
It's not that they're unable to do anything about it. They are unwilling to do anything about it. They have all the power they need to do sanctions, to pre-position armaments and troops, to send a signal. They are telling Putin, have at it. This is unbelievable. The destabilization that the foreign policy and the Secretary of State and Defense and the people in this administration, in the national security apparatus, the signal that they are sending to Russia and China is basically Monty Hall, come on down. They are inviting them to adventurism. It is a frightening display of fecklessness at a time when war could break out, and a kind of war that we're not going to be able to do anything about because we haven't prepared ourselves for it. This president is so compromised financially and politically by China and Russia that he cannot act because of his family's investments in these areas. This is such an obvious conflict of interest, such an impeachable offense status for this president. Indeed, I must say, you know, I'm really not a big fan of impeachment, but I will tell you this. If the Republicans take over the House, other than starting up these investigations, they need to lay the groundwork to impeach Biden. This is really disgraceful, what is happening. Germany, for example, is telling us to go fly a kite. We have 40,000 troops in Germany and 15,000 civilians on the ground to protect them, and they will do nothing to stand up to Russia or China, because of trade considerations and gas, because they are now hostages to Russian natural gas.
Yeah, but Biden, you know, Biden told us Putin was scared of him. The last thing Putin wanted was for Biden to win the presidency.
Listen, all Putin wants to do is own stock in the DuPont company. He's already owns half the company now.
Yep. Corn Pop Poop.
Out of Delaware.
All right. Joe DeGeneva, it's always great to start our week with you. Thank you for firing us up today and speaking truth to power. Appreciate it, my friend.
You bet.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.